Greetings, everybody. In today's program, we're going to be talking about something kind of interesting, maybe a little strange to some of you. We're going to talk about the times of the Gentiles. What in the world is the times of the Gentiles, you're asking? You're going to find out in today's program right here in my Daniel study guide. We're going to talk about Daniel chapter 2, which is the times of the Gentiles. And we'll explain that to you. Doc is here, and we're going to have a good time, so get ready. This is chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. Get your Bible ready. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us today. Hope you're ready to learn something, because there's a phrase that gets used a lot called the times of the Gentiles. And I'm afraid many of you are a little confused about what that means. We're going to help you with that today. And we're going to be discussing, once again, my Daniel study guide that I'm holding right here. Spiral bound. It's wonderful. It lays flat on the table like that. And you're going to want to get your copy of that. She'll put that up every now and then for you to see, get a better glimpse of the cover there. And let me read a little paragraph here, Doc, and then I want to throw some of this to you, because actually, you wrote some of this chapter. I stole this out of a book that you and I did together.
You're plagiarizing.
Yeah.
The but Bible, with permission.
Bible prophecy terminology, you and I did this together, mm-hmm. and this was one of your sections, was the times of the Gentiles.
Okay.
So I got thinking, that's what this chapter's about.
That's
so I went and stole that, put it in mm-hmm. here. Now, of course, I gave you credit for it. Your name's in here. And I even used your...
As long as my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's really
that's
all
right.
I care about.
And I put some, some slides that you used. Mm-hmm. I put them in here, too, to help people.
Yeah, I have we didn't put it up last week, but I have a DVD.
Yeah.
And these slides are in there when I get
and,
to
it. So the slides in this chapter are the ones that are in that DVD right there mm-hmm. that you're looking at on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, what timing was that? I pointed just like then. There it was.
yeah.
And
Miss Goodwin was watching.
Go on there and get his DVD, which is a summary of the entire book of Daniel, mm-hmm. right?
And a lot of detail in chapter 9 concerning that major
prophecy. The 70th week, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so we discussed chapter 1 last week. This week, we're going to give some information about Daniel 2. I give a theme for each chapter. Here's my theme for chapter 2, and it's this. The times of the Gentiles from man's perspective.
Yes.
That's important.
Exactly.
And because when we get to chapter 7, mm-hmm. the theme of chapter 7 is the same theme, the times of the Gentiles from God's perspective.
Yes.
Now, these are my opinions here.
I'm the one
that wrote the themes.
I think they're not just yours, but their opinion of the greater majority of
because
people.
Because chapter 7 is the same story of the kingdoms of the world the surrounding mm-hmm. Israel there
instead
from 605.
Instead of mineral-based material, it's the nature of animals.
Yeah, and wild beasts that can't be tamed.
Yeah.
That's the way God looks at kingdoms of the world. You know, here we are in 2024, almost 2025.
Hmm.
Now, in the last few years, if people don't see that this is a wild beast, this country we're living in, as all countries are, you're not paying attention. I mean, we have seen unbelievable things in the last 6 or 8 years.
Unreal.
Yeah. I mean, this is a beast system that's coming mm-hmm. after us.
And so when it's referred to that in the book of Revelation, it really is a beast.
And... So let me just read the first paragraph, and I'm going to turn some of this over to you, Doc. The period of time we call the times of the Gentiles begins in Daniel chapter 1 with the taking of Jerusalem by Babylon in around 605 BC, and it ends, and this is important, it ends at the end of the tribulation at the Battle of Armageddon.
That's it.
Okay? Approximately 2,520 years later.
That's about right.
Which is interesting.
Which is another 2520.
The tribulation is 2,025 days, 20 days. Where did I end here? Here we go. When Christ comes back on the white horse, okay, finish reading the sentence there. It has to do with Israel under Gentile rule. In case you are confused, Israel is still very much under the control of the Gentiles in our day. And you've talked about this. They can't do anything without making a phone call.
If you can't see that today, they right now rushed into a truce, a ceasefire thing with Hezbollah because a Gentile kingdom said, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Or a Gentile kingdom said, you're going to give this property, it's going to be Israel, the Golan Heights. Whatever. They are not solely all on their own.
All right. And Luke chapter 21, I'm going to turn this over to you. What does the phrase mean, the times of the Gentiles? And you quoted Luke 21:24,
yes,
where
important.
Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of men. So give us the Dr. Hiltabiddle view of this.
Well, there are those that believe that the times of the Gentiles began in 70 A.D. when the Romans destroyed the temple.
Yeah.
And they will agree, the greater majority, that that means from that point all the way until the beginning of the millennial reign. But
so they get the end right, they just don't get the beginning right.
They don't have the right starting point because it's not just about that time and that destruction. It's really the very first time. Because when you say the times of the Gentiles, then your question is, if it started in 70 A.D., then it didn't start till the Roman Empire was ruling over Israel. And so the occupation of Jerusalem by the Babylonians was the first time that Jerusalem is under the control of a foreign Gentile kingdom.
Yeah.
And so that's when it starts.
They lost their, what we would call, they lost their sovereignty.
They lost their sovereignty. Never gained. I know today they have their sovereignty only to a point.
Now in Ezra and Nehemiah, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, they're given permission by Cyrus to rebuild the temple. They build the walls. Nehemiah builds the walls.
But it's still under
they're still under
the authority of the Persian kingdom at that time.
Yeah.
And the Persian kingdom was then the Greek kingdom. And then the Greek kingdom was a Roman kingdom. All of that.
And when Jesus comes on the scene, it's the Roman Empire.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they have their governor over
Judea. A lot of people start in 70 AD because they're seeing this in the light of the New Testament. This prophecy or these wordings of the times of the Gentiles has to do with the time that the Gentiles began trampling over Jerusalem. And now there were many Gentile kingdoms before. I don't know if I have it in there or not, but I have a chart that I put together of all the many Gentile kingdoms that were there before Israel. But then when Israel became a kingdom, then it was this kingdom, Babylon, that the head of gold that took over sovereignty over them.
Right. So the starting point is Egypt was kind of a world kingdom, and that's before.
Well,
Assyria also.
Assyria was before the Babylonians. Egyptians. Then you had the Assyrians. You had the Sumer kingdom, whatever. All the way back to Nimrod. You had all these Gentile kingdoms.
Yeah.
But that's why it begins with Nebuchadnezzar trampling under his foot Jerusalem, and from that point forward, Israel has all until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes at the end of the tribulation. That's the times of the Gentiles.
Yeah. Now, what would you say to
some people? Let me add this. Some people say that the times of the Gentiles is solely in reference to the church age. And it has nothing to do with the church age. This is a prophecy that has to do with Israel.
And you won't even see the church in the book of Daniel.
No, because the times of the Gentiles is in reference to how Gentiles are dealing with Jerusalem.
So what would you say to a preacher or somebody that says, well, 1948, Israel became a nation, or if you want to go to 67 when they got Jerusalem, and they would say That's the end of the times of the Gentile. What would you say to them?
It's pretty obvious, even to this day. Israel, even as powerful as they are and military-wise, they are still under the influence of what Gentile leaders of the world do and say.
Yeah. And they got to pick up the phone and call Washington.
It is. I guarantee you it is.
To some degree, they're dependent on our dollars and our weapons that we finance and all that stuff. And
when you enter into the tribulation, if you know the book of Revelation, you understand at the middle of that, it's a 3.5-year point, Israel is certainly under, because they are driven out just in order to save their own lives.
Yep.
Who does that? Gentile kingdom.
I'm going to read a little paragraph here. And you, this is you speaking. You wrote this, Doc. Let's see. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and enslaved Israel, 605 BC, it will not end until the King of Kings comes to destroy the final Gentile rule at the Battle of Armageddon. And you have a chart here that you gave us. Therefore, the phrase times of the Gentiles has to do with God's judgment in allowing the Gentile nations to rule over Israel until he delivers them at the end of the tribulation. Even though Israel has returned and is self-governing, they still are withheld in many ways by the consensus of Gentile leaders in the world. And good explanation. So they've been under that since 2,500 years ago.
Yes.
And they're going to be under that at least another 7 years.
Yeah.
And, boy, when we get to Daniel 10, 11, and 12, that's the end right there.
In this chapter, of course, you're probably going to bring it out in your study guide, but the dream that that Nebuchadnezzar has, I've often thought, it's odd to me. In one sense, he gave that dream to the Gentile king. And then, as we'll discover when we get to chapter 4, the Gentile king actually takes that dream and builds a statue, I believe, of himself, all of gold, and put it out there.
Chapter 3, I believe it is.
Yeah, chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, as a result of all of this pride that comes with that dream and the misconception of that dream, he's going to end up losing his mind for a period of time.
Yeah.
But that Gentile king, I believe, that dream that he had is what is going to bring him back to his senses.
Yeah.
As you'll see when you get to the fourth chapter.
And something interesting that I noticed as I was writing this thing, God gave the Gentile rulers dreams.
Yes.
He gave his prophets,
visions.
Daniel, visions.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally different.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot of people today talking about all their dreams.
I had a dream last night.
Yeah.
Scary one.
I have them every night, but ever since 50-some years ago, that's all I have every night. But that's, I could preach a lot of messages, but they'd sure be weird ones.
Yeah. Yep. So the statue, so the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and I bring this out, he doesn't tell the wise men the dream. He says that he doesn't
know. And I don't know whether he was being honest.
That's
or
what
not.
I wrote in here. Have you read my study guide? I know you don't even have it yet.
It doesn't make it clear
it
in
doesn't.
Scripture.
I think because he says, I want to make sure you're telling the truth, and if you can tell me what the dream was, I'll know you're not lying.
But at the same time, if they could tell him the dream, it would bring back to recall, remembrance.
And so, of course, they couldn't tell
the dream.
Well,
they didn't even know where to start.
Yeah. And so Daniel comes on the scene.
Yeah.
Tells him the dream, and come to find out, this statue, each part of it is a different kind of metal.
Yeah.
The head of gold is the most important thing. That's where they're at. That's Babylon.
That's where it all started.
And that's Nebuchadnezzar. And by the way, you cannot, and I bring that out in the book, you cannot separate the king from his kingdom.
That's right. Now, before we go on further, it's amazing that God used one of his men for a deliverer for all of the wise men of Babylon.
Yeah.
Because they were getting ready to be lined up and have their heads whacked off.
Yeah.
And, of course, Daniel and them may have been included in that. They're not out of college yet. He's probably only been in college a couple of years.
Yep, this is a 3-year
program. Daniel's probably 19, 18, 19, somewhere along in there. And it's amazing that it shows you that what you said last session, he purposed in his heart, and look how God honored that. Yep. And through him, it brought preservation to all of these other people.
Well, let's look at them four kingdoms, but before we do, before we look at the statue, let's just, we got 1 week to go before the bill is due for CTN and some of the others there.
We need a big check.
And we're still behind. We may have to leave CTN. It's going to depend on the next week, what comes in. Of course, this is pre-recorded, so the money, we don't know what's in on this date, because last week was when we recorded this. But we need a few thousand dollars. If you can help, call the 800 number, donate over the phone, or get the address and send a check. If you'd like to keep us on the air on CTN. We are on Faith TV on some of the same networks, some of the same satellite places. It's DirecTV, channel 379, every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So different night, almost the same time as CTN is on now, just a different night. So if we do leave CTN, many of you can still find us. We're still on DirecTV, just a different day, okay? And there's other ways. Contact us. We'll tell you all the different ways that you can find us out there. But we're not giving up yet. It's very possible the money will come in. It did last time.
And we've been on for 4 years, and we paid our bill every time. Because,
3 months in advance.
Because of our viewers seeing the value of investing with us in this ministry.
We also have the Revelation flash drive now. All the 18 shows we did right here on television for the Book of Revelation. Remember all those? They're all on one flash drive, on a USB drive, plugs right in your computer. You can play the videos anytime you want, pause them. You can skip around, whatever you want to do. They're at the website, and you can get that. The Book of Daniel will also be on one of those once we get this done. And so, anyway, well, let's continue on here, Doc.
Okay.
The King Nebuchadnezzar, as a lost man, has a dream. He doesn't know what the dream meant. Daniel tells him what it was. He says, you saw a statue of a man. The head of that man is gold. He says, thou art the head of gold. The metals go from expensive down to less expensive, all the way down to the feet.
But as it goes, it gets down to the stronger metal in the legs.
Yeah.
And then they're divided.
Back,
because
the arms
two
and
legs.
Chest are silver. That's stronger than gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then the brass is stronger than the silver. Yeah. And then you got
iron legs.
But
then when you get to the end, you got a fractured kingdom trying to put itself together, bits of pieces and bits of iron and clay.
Iron and clay mixed together. Mm-hmm. And I make a big deal of that. I talk about that word diverse, the diverse one from another.
And here's the thing. The word clay here in chapter 2 that we're talking about is not talking about molding clay or modeling clay. The word clay there is fire burnt clay. In other words, I could have this is clay. If I drop it, I got all these pieces.
Yeah.
And so the picture there is of the fractured Roman Empire out of those two legs, trying to put itself back together, and it's trying to mingle itself with iron. I think, personally, it's a picture of what we're watching in what I would call the ancient Roman Empire of Europe today. It's been fractured. I think it's trying to put itself back together for a united kingdom, but it's overrun with the iron of Islam, and they just don't amalgamate together. But he says that last kingdom, it's obvious the toes are fragile.
Yeah. And they're diversity. And I tell people, diversity is being pushed on us.
Oh.
And I tell people, diversity does not strengthen a nation or a
perversity.
People. Yeah. diversity does not strengthen, it weakens.
It weakens.
You take people, you get a work crew working on something, and they all speak different languages, Spanish, Russian, Ukraine, American, French.
The Tower of Babel.
Yeah. You got confusion.
Yes.
And because how do you tell everybody what to do?
Well, that's why when you get to the book of Revelation, this kingdom, these toes, is referred to as Mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
And what happened at Babylon, which is the name that we have for the same place, Babel. Confusion.
So this diversity that many of our friends in the prophecy world, when they see that word diversity, they jump to this conclusion.
They jump to a genetic
that it's talking about genetics, talking about half angel, half man. That is not what it's talking about at all.
And then they'll go over to Ezra when Ezra's talking about this thing of strangers and all that. And if you put it in its context, diversity is not the fact of mixing of that. It's the mixing of people's groups.
Yeah. You get different religions. You get Muslims,
yes,
and Christians and Catholics and the India religion. Yeah.
All
people
of it.
Worship. You get them all together. You got different customs, different beliefs, different gods, different moral
and
values.
And that's what they're working at for this end time religion.
Yeah. And that's
so Daniel actually sees this in his vision. Daniel actually sees all of this. I don't think Daniel understood what it all meant.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious when you get to chapter 11, we'll see that Daniel even admitted he didn't know what it meant, but this is what he saw.
And as you go through the book of Daniel, and folks, you'll see this when you read my study guide, there's times he's talking about that fourth kingdom, Rome.
Yes.
But as you read it, you realize, wait a minute, he's shifted here. Yes, it's Rome, but this is the Rome of the end time. This is what we call the revived Roman Empire. Because it's the same kingdom, it's just evolved into, See, Rome right now is in the background, but it's still there. It never left.
Well, the spirit of Rome, the laws of Rome and all that basically govern the greater majority of what we call civilized world today.
Somebody wrote something recently, and I wanted to get that, and I didn't. He went through history and showed all the wars that England, Great Britain had been in. Because Great Britain ruled the world for a while there. Remember,
sun never set on their
sun,
kingdom.
That's what I was trying to get there. Sun never sets on the British Empire. And they kind of took over from Rome a little bit there in these last days. And they came out of that. And we came out of that. And the attributes that we have are right there.
That's why Rome and Mystery Babylon has never gone away, so it's really not come. It's just a resurgence of
the Roman religion
back together.
Is alive and well.
Yes.
Our government is filled with it now.
Yes.
That wouldn't have happened 200 years ago. They hated it.
Yeah.
And they did not like that religion.
And we're not here to just bash on the Catholics in that sense, but when you look at all the people in leadership and look at the Supreme Court and you look at all this, that's where we are.
Yeah. I think six of the justices are Roman.
Uh-huh.
And many.
Great
Nancy
number
Pelosi,
of your senators
Chuck,
and all of
Chuck
those
Schumer,
other.
All, yeah. They're all Catholics.
Yeah.
And they have very little moral values.
Oh, they have none to speak of. But in chapter 2, we have this vision or this dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. God reveals all of this to Daniel. And what it's doing, I believe, it's setting Daniel up to be able to be used of God so that he will be the historian, so to speak, not only the prophecy writer, but he's the historian to be able to write the clear understanding of the four kingdoms under which he served in leadership roles. And Daniel's going to be made the leader over all the educational system of the Chaldeans.
Yeah.
Because of this event. So God not only is giving us an understanding of what started with the times of the Gentiles and how it's going to end, but he's using it to put Daniel in a position to give all of us an accurate record of the 70 years, but also so that God will be magnified in all of the things through those four boys' lives.
Now, I want to look at the end of this thing. And, of course, I talk about globalism. I got a whole section here about globalism, because that's where this is headed.
That's where it's headed.
It's headed right back
and you've
where
said
it started.
Often in teaching on Revelation, it's when the entire image stands up on its feet.
Yeah. And that's what I'd like to hit on a little bit in closing is there's one more thing that happens.
Yeah.
The stone cut out without hands.
Without hands.
It's going to hit the statue. It's going to crumble the statue to nothing.
And destroy it all.
It's going to destroy man's kingdoms.
That's the second
Christ
coming of Christ.
Christ is coming to set up his kingdom.
And that's why I say the times of the Gentiles does not end until the King of Kings comes back at the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah. And he's going to, that stone, that statue is going to go to powder.
Yeah.
I had some observations. I had some lessons here at the end in our last 2 minutes here. There's really six kingdoms, if you want to count the stone cut out without hands.
Yeah.
Four ruled by men. The fifth is the Antichrist, who's also a man. The fifth is the renewal of the fourth. It gets a little confusing here. Yeah. There's four kingdoms, but there's really five plus the one that Christ comes to set up.
Yeah, when you get a little further over, you got a little horn and all of these other things. And it can get confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each kingdom decreases in value, but increases in strength.
Yes.
Babylon, gold. Persia, silver. Mm-hmm. Greece, brass. Rome, iron. And then the revived Roman Empire there. Of course, the ten toes are in there too, but... Daniel 2 and 7 go together, as well as Revelation 13, 1 and 2.
Yes, absolutely.
That's all in the study guide. I know you're not going to remember all this when you hear it, but it'll be in here for your help. And just a couple lessons here. History is his story. I like that.
I like that.
Some of these are not original to me. I've heard these somewhere. History is his story. The greatest thing men ever learned from history is that men never learn from history. I like that.
That's so
that
true.
That is true, isn't it?
Oh, my.
We don't learn from history.
Even we.
Yep. Number three, the return of Rome is happening right before our very eyes right now. It's happening. Rome is back.
This diverse beast, different than all the others, you cannot help but see it coming at the stage.
Yep. And last but not least, time is running out.
Yeah.
And on that note, Doc, time is running out for redemption, isn't it?
Number one, make sure you're saved. I don't care how many churches you're a member of or how many times you've been baptized, but if you haven't placed your faith and trust solely in what Jesus done on Calvary's cross, your name's not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life of Heaven. That's heaven's rule book, and I want you to be there with me for all eternity. Secondly, make sure your family gets saved.
Yeah.
Do everything you and your friends. Find a good church. If you haven't got one, find a good church. Call me. I'll help you find one. Amen. And get in and serve God with what time we have left.
Yep. Yep. Well said, Doc. Well said. Well, folks, that's Daniel chapter 2. It's just a little survey of it. There's a lot more in the book. I talked a lot about globalism, and globalism's here now, and a lot of that's in there. But we'll be back next week with chapter 3, okay, the fiery furnace. You're going to want to see that. Well, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.